things for me. I need you to find a light blue, light gray hymn book there and flip over to 118. Then open your Bibles to open your Bibles to Psalm 98. Psalm 98. Some of you are going, there's just no way I'm going to keep all that straight, preacher. Will you give it a good shot? Psalm 98, maybe if you're sitting near someone, they can help you. We're going to look at a couple of things this morning and see what we can do. Psalm 98, Joy to the World. And I want to talk about that next Christmas. Psalm 98, and we'll read to you Luke chapter 2, and verse 10. Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. If I have that, yeah. Luke chapter 2 and Psalm 98. Do I have Psalm 98 for everybody? Do I have Luke 2? May not be. Okay. Stand with us if you would there. Maybe you've got it open in your Bible and we'll look at that. Let me just read Luke 2 verse 10 to you. The Bible says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." The angel here quoting that this joy, this child, would bring joy to the whole world. Bring joy to the whole world. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Psalm 98. Just again, flip back. I know I'm having you flip a little bit here, but I want you to kind of see where we're at and where we're headed. Psalm 98, verse 1. "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand, his holy arm, has gotten him the victory." The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness has he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. Verse 3, "He has remembered his mercy and truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with harp and with the harp and the voice of a psalm. With trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and all the people with equity." With the people with equity. And the Bible says there that I get to do what? I get to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I get to do this. And I want to talk about that. That joy there to the world. And just this psalm looking ahead. I want to talk about that next Christmas. That next Christmas. Would you pray with me? Father, speak to every heart. I pray my message that you laid on my heart, Lord, would be received well. I pray we'd understand and apply. I pray you'd help us in all the things we say and do this morning. Give you honor and glory. Lord, I love you and I need you. Spirit of God, fill me, I pray. Use me, I ask. In Jesus' precious name, and amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Psalm 98 is the basis for this wonderful song we like to use, we like to sing at this time of the year. Thank you. That we call Joy of the World. If you've got it open there, and I brought mine up here. If you've got it open there, you kind of follow along a little bit. Let's just read a little bit. And I'll do a little differently today, but I think you'll not only enjoy it, but I think you'll see the good application in just a moment. It says, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature, and heaven, nature sing." How many of you don't want me to sing right now? And verse 2, "Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy." And again and again and again. Verse 3, "No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the grounds. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found." Very clever way of saying anywhere that there's the touch of the curse and sin and death. Verse 4, "He rules the world with truth and grace." Doesn't feel that way some days, does it? There's a day coming when he comes again where it will all be according to his order and his plan. He will have everything just right. "And makes the nations prove." He will do what? He will reign in righteousness, in fairness, equity. "The glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love." And then there's the refrain we like, "and wonders of his love. Wonders of land, wonders, wonders of his love." Say, that looks familiar. It should look familiar. You just read a whole lot of that in Psalm 98. Psalm 98. Watts, that great hymn writer of bygone days, he just didn't like the way things were arranged. He didn't like didn't think some of the things that were able to be sung were very singable. Some of you that have gotten a hold of a psaltery from days gone by, or you've done some little bit of research online, you'll see it's just tough. Even some of the English psalms that are put to music, I mean, some of them just difficult to sing. They don't have as what we consider cadence and rhythm. And he took this and he reproduced it, and he wanted it to be able to be sung. And as you read it there and you see what we have, we call this Christmas song, it's Joy to the World, you see that he's really looking at a couple of things. He's looking back to what God did and then looking ahead to what God's going to do. Now, let me give you a little time out and give you the end of the story here. That is exactly what we are called to do just about every day of our lives, isn't it? We are called to look back at what God has done and the victories He's accomplished, and we get out of bed in the morning with the hope of what God's about to do and what He's going to do and how He's going to wrap up history. Amen. Could anybody get excited about those two ideas there? What He's done and what He's going to do. And then we get that third one there, what God did at that first Christmas when He came and what He's going to do again when He comes again, right? So I'm just thrilled and excited just at the very thought of Psalm 98. Somebody say amen real fast here. Amen. So I want us to kind of tear this apart a little bit. I want us to see it, and I want to give you some reasons why you can sing with conviction and echo the psalmist and the songwriter that this is to be a joyful time and something that we can have and say that there is joy coming to the world and king to the world, and that there is a reason for hope and for joy. If you look at it again just carefully here, verse 1 there, though, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. Verse 3, He's remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel. We're obviously looking back to when God led the people, His people, out of Egypt, and He led them across the Red Sea, and then He kept them alive for 40 years, and He gave them all the victories over the Canaanites. He gave them a fixed point in time to demonstrate His faithfulness and His goodness. And He said, remember what God has done. Let me help you with a second. Let me help you. Most of us, we have physical problems remembering things. Amen. You've heard me say, if the 3M people go out of business and the Post-it note people are done, I'm just toast. Man, I really toast. I ride down the car. I've got my phone set up where I can go, okay, Google, and tell it to remind me of something or add something to my list. My kids laugh at me and they mock me. And some of you have read with me and heard me do that. I don't do that to show off. I do that because it is necessity. I have to write it down. I have to. I can't remember anything. I am going to be in bad shape at 50 if I live that long, and I don't know what I'm going to do when I'm hit 60 if Jesus tarries, because I can't remember anything. If you remembered what I said, then can you raise your hand? That's just you. You're just bad shape right now. He says, remember, I think we have a physical memory, but we have bad spiritual amnesia. Because everything's just not going right for us today, we think all of a sudden God has somehow changed in His character and who He is. And that's not the case. God has not changed because my circumstances have changed. Maybe I have circumstances going wrong because of chastening, or because God is trying to work something out of my life, or He's trying to prove me about something or improve me about something. But when I can look back at some fixed points, it gives me cause to thank Him and to have joy in my heart and in my life. So what is it? Why in the world Joy of the World? Why did he write it this way? Why is the psalmist under inspiration pen it this way? Why did the angels come and they said, the baby's coming and it will be joy to all people? I'm glad you asked. He's going to give us some reasons. Really like three acts in this psalm. And I want to give you these three acts here and walk you through it. What is so joyful? What is so joyful? Number one, he asked the question, why should we be full of praise and joy to our God? And he starts us off and he says, you can do this because God has done marvelous things. He has done marvelous things. He's done wonderful things. Some of you that like to study the scriptures, or you've got a reference Bible or something there, you've got the note, and that note says, whenever you see that, almost always refer to His miraculous saving acts. God has done these things. God has done something that only He can do. He has done something in such a way that only He gets credit for. He has done all these things. He has done wonderful things. If you believe God has done wonderful things this morning, would you say amen? Would you say amen? I started to give you permission to clap or to shout. Because when you think about what God has done for the world, what God has done for you, you just think about how much has had to go into the fact that you're still walking and talking and upright today. Say, it's no big deal. You let something go wrong, you go to the hospital and see what they think of what it costs to keep you upright and moving from day to day. Nod your head if you follow that logic there. It is a miracle to be alive. It is a miracle to have stayed alive. Let me help you. It is a miracle what God has done. And he starts off, he says, he's done these wonderful things. He first of all, he talks about these miraculous saving acts. He talks about how he delivered them from the strongest army in the world at that time. How he did that and how he fed them and all these things God has done over and over and over. And he gets the credit and he gets the glory for these miraculous saving works of God. Same works of God. It's a second idea, though. He's talking about the wonderful things. Oh, sing, be filled with praise to the Lord for the new song. For he has done things, what? He's done wonderful things that should cause our hearts and mind to be filled with wonder. One of our favorite family movies is a little animated deal, the Polar Express. Any Polar Express fans in here? Maybe you like that little movie. Good. The whole point of the movie, it's really not about Santa, not about the train, although it's pretty cool, I suppose. It's not about how many characters Tom Hanks can be in one movie. It's about the attempt to hold on to wonder. To wonder. The movie does a fine job, and it's just a cute little movie, I suppose. We like it because it kind of, if I can borrow a line from the movie, it rings the bell that there are things in life that ought to fill us with wonder. Let me help you. If a fictional movie with fictional characters about a fictional portrayal of Christmas can cause and help us understand that life is to be filled with wonder, then the God who stepped out and became a man, became a human, wrapped himself in flesh, and the God-man came and lived among us and never sinned and died on a cross and rose again and even now intercedes for us and has given us his Holy Spirit and is coming again. That ought to fill our hearts and our lives with wonder. I'm amazed that there's more worship goes on in an Apple store than goes on in the house of God. Can I get an amen somewhere? Amen? I just can't believe it. They're just unbelievable. They're amazed and they hold it in highest esteem. People don't know where their Bibles is, but they lose their mind if they lose their phone. We have substituted the temporary, and that is not filled with wonder, wait for it, with the eternal, and that should cause us to deeply be filled with wonder. And he says, you sing and you remember the things of God that should have filled you with wonder, all of his wonderful works, whether that was delivering the people of God out of Egypt, whether that was taking care of the prophets, whether that was feeding the prophet by the river, whether it was saving Noah and all his people from the flood. And literally, I can go from here all the way to Revelation, and then I could turn it to you. Think about all the times in your life and in our lives where God has just supernaturally done some things that should cause our hearts to wonder. Cause our hearts to wonder. I'm not a journaler. I'm not good at it. I've made myself last 3 or 4 years do it. I don't want to go through a day and miss an opportunity to write about the wonder that God has done in my heart and my life. I can't remember from across the room something. I don't want to get in the habit of forgetting what God has done in my life. He says, you can be filled with joy this morning. You can sing to him because God has done wonderful things. He says, secondly, he says, don't miss that. He's done it all by himself. Why should I be filled with joy? Why should I praise the Lord? Why should we sing this kind of song here? He says, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand, his holy arm has gotten him the victory. God has done this. God has done this. people strut around like peacocks and act like they've done God some favor, or they talk about how this and how that and all these kind of things. No, God has done it. God has done this by himself. God has done this, and he is the one who should get all the glory. He has done it on his own. I think you know, longer people are saved, the more they give God the credit. I think sometimes the opposite is true. The longer you're saved, longer you're around church, longer around spiritual things, you just get kind of used to it, and it becomes about me and me and me and me and me and me and me. I think the longer you're saved, the more obvious it'll be. It's about him, it's about him, it's about him, it's about him. My name's on more stuff here than I care to have right now. This is not Rodney Holloman's ministry. This church belongs to Jesus Christ. And any good thing that happens here, and anything that's praiseworthy that happens here, ought to be given to him, and he gets the honor and the glory and the credit. Why? Because he saved us by himself. He created the world by himself. He will come again for us by himself. God does not need any of us. God chooses to use us. But he has done all this by himself. That's why when we have a worship service, we talk about it's for an audience of one. To you, Lord. To you, Lord. We sing, we give, we attend, we do all these things. We do this because God has done it all by himself. Number three, you still with me? Say amen. So why should we do this? We're in the scripture here. It says the Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness as he openly showed it to us. He's done wonderful things. He's done it all by himself. God has shown us what he's like. God has shown us what he's like. What do you mean? He's shown us what he's like in his work of salvation. What kind of character does he have? Again, I've read in the last 2 years, I've read 3 books and I don't know, host of articles and watched some lecture series on Islam. Not because I'm that fascinated. It is the fastest growing religion in the world. It is, depending on how you want to count it, it is the largest religion if you separate Christianity and Catholicism is the largest religion. I want to be well-versed. I run into folks. They are proselytizing like nobody's business on college campuses, campi, and I think we need to be ready to give answers. Nod your head if you think that's a wise thing to do. You got 99 descriptions of God or Allah, Allah, in the Quran. Not one of them is positive. Not one of them is positive. You can look from Sirah 1 to Sirah, whatever it is, 136. You will not find a positive as far as forgiveness talking about the God of Islam. Let me help you. From the opening chapters of Genesis, we see God saying, and you're going to have a son, and it's going to bruise his heel, but then his heel is going to crush the serpent's head. And you can walk from Genesis to Revelation, and you can see the character of Almighty God. Say, I've messed up, I've blown it, I've drunk too much, I've done this too much, I've cheated on this, I've lied about this, I've broken this, I've hurt this, etc., etc. Let me tell you about the character of God. He has shown us what he's like, that he delights in saving men and women, boys and girls, from their sins and changing their lives, and it's joy to the world, and we can praise him, and our mouths ought to be full of praise, because we get to see his character. We get to see what he is like. Number four, he says, you can be filled with praise because God is what? He's going to put right to the wrong, and he's going to show his righteousness to the nations. Verse 2, his righteousness as he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He's going to reveal what's right and reveal what's wrong. It's hard to believe December 7th has come and gone again. It's hard to believe so many under 2025, that is not even a blip on a radar as a significant day. Nod your head if you think that's a sad thing in American history that we don't. Pay any more attention to it. Never had the privilege to go to Hawaii. My oldest aunt was born there. Aunt was born there. I heard my mom. I heard my grandmother before she passed tell. I have friends who've been there. They all say the same thing. To stand on the glass bottom boat, or to stand at the commemoration, and to look, peer through the water and see the tall poles on the ships. I know that some of those men, before they ever reported for duty, were on their way to a watery grave. Men died trying to take off their Sunday dress, who'd been to Bible study, on their way to Bible study, to watch and hear those who gave everything they had to try and get offshore leave back on a boat, who ran toward the danger. And our response, that was wrong what you did, and this is right. It is wrong what Hitler's doing to the Jews, and this is right. We will liberate them. We will come in. God has used those who would follow His word to show to a world, this is right and this is wrong. By the way, that's one thing that gets some of us so upset, when we see people who break the law that's from God, and nobody seems to care. We understand, no, that's part of God's plan. God's plan was to show to everyone what is right and what is wrong, and to demonstrate His righteousness. This is the reason why America has been a sending agency to missionaries. Let me help you. This is one of the reasons why we say we're a nation of laws, why we get it from passages like this. This is God's plan and God's intent. I can stay a long time there. I don't have time. Number five. We can rejoice because God's been true to His promises. He has remembered, verse 3, His mercy and truth toward the house of Israel. Somebody said there are 365 promises. There are at least 365. There are hundreds more than that. It says a promise for every day of the week. There's at least every day of the year. There's at least a promise for every day of the year. God has promised and God will perform it, and God has not forgotten. God has been true to Himself and to His promises. Anybody ever had somebody break a promise to you? Anybody hurt your feeling? Anybody, you ever promised somebody something and didn't make it happen? Make it happen? You want a good parental test, all you young married folks in here, when you have kids? If you say, I'm a pretty good parent, just ask your kids if you've forgotten to do something you promised them. That's a bad breakfast. That's a bad breakfast. Kids were younger some years ago. One of them was in bad trouble. I don't remember what it was. Bad trouble. They were smuggling arms. You know, whatever bad trouble is for a kid. They're in trouble. In bad trouble. Problem was, I promised we were going to go somewhere. We're going to Chuck E. Cheese. Chuck E. Cheese is not evil, but it's close. Chuck E. Cheese. Chuck E. Cheese. Stick to the floor. Smells funny. It's a giant rat running around scaring children. It's awful. And I'm kidding. It's not that bad. Kids in trouble. I promise we go to Chuck E. Cheese. So that's the end of that, right? That's the end of that. You're not going to Chuck E. Cheese. No, I promise. Were they in trouble? They were in trouble. They got punished. Why'd you take them to Chuck E. Cheese? Because I'm their dad. They went because they were my child, not because of their behavior. Nod your head if you understand the analogy here. How many of you are really glad God keeps His promise because of who He is and not because of how we act? How many of you that ought to cause you to sing and to shout and to do a cartwheel or two and to be very thankful God has been true to His promises, not because of how we act, but because of who He is? Lastly there, God's victory is spreading to the whole world. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of the Lord. See, what do you mean? Not only is God on the move, not only is God at work, but folks hear about what God is doing. What God is doing. I heard Rabbi Zacharias, when I was down there, he told the story. He said that he was somewhere in Afghanistan. I couldn't pronounce it again. He said they had taken jeeps and they were there, and he said he's meeting David Platt, and he said he's meeting with the guys, and they're doing these week kind of sessions, and they're training people, and then they move on, and basically taking a few weeks at a time, and they get all the leaders of the area together. So he's got these two guys there, and he's supposed to meet them, and they've been going to a little makeshift seminary. So the guy says, I got a story for you. He says, that's fine. He said, before I got saved, he says, I was into martial arts and judo and all these kind of things. It's just funny for me to make that stance. And then he said, I was a bad guy, but God saved me. God changed my heart. And he said, and this guy came. He said he basically the leader and witch doctor is not the right word, but that kind of a deal and all the spirits. And he said he came on the door and he said basically he just called me out, said you come out here and I'm going to strike you down, all this. And he thought, no big deal. He said, I'm big and bad and tough. I'll just go out there and whoop him. He said, and all of a sudden he says, just like the Lord said, just let me handle it. Just let me handle it. So he said, I went in the house, I grabbed a chair, and I just sat on the porch. I looked at him and said, my God's going to handle it. He said, and all of a sudden the shaman, the witch doctor kind of guy, he said he starts choking, he starts grabbing for air. He said, I stood up and go to help him. He said, before I can help him, he just falls down to the ground, he's dead. He said, I looked at him, and I thought, man, that's scary. Platt says, I'm not going to lie to you, I was a little scared. He said, everybody come around. And he said, they start looking at him. He said, they know that I'm a Christian. And he said, no, this guy's not. And he said, and everybody starts coming up, and they say, what happened? He said, well, God handled it. And Jehovah handled it. He said, wow. And so they all start coming. He said, and all of a sudden, man, they got revival going on this part. He said, people are coming. They're laying their guns on the porch. He said, all because God's done it. All because God done it. And Platt says, and let me stop you here. Two things. He said, one, I don't think you ought to start walking around going, serve God or die. That may not get you the reputation you want. Pull up a chair on your porch and start yelling at people as they pass by. He said, but two, he said, don't write this off. We hear a story like that and that's just nonsense. You misunderstand. You misunderstand. God is on the move. God is doing great things. God has raised up His church in Soviet Russia when they had hardly any copies of the Scripture. God has. I have seen it with my own eyes in Cuba when they had intense persecution. They took the men off the concentration camp because they would not renounce Christ. And God is growing His church. God is at work and His victory has been spreading. And God is making Himself known. We can praise God because of all these things. Look at Dakota. Look at Dakota, and I'm going to be done. Musical ending here. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Verse 4. Make a loud noise, rejoice, and sing praise. Sing to the Lord with musical instruments. Verse 6. Sing to the Lord with a cornet, and make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let nature jump in here. Let them all do this. Why? Because He comes to judge the earth. He comes to judge the earth. Believers ought to expect, they ought to want, they ought to desire, they ought to work for the nations to praise the Lord. Why do we ask you to do above and beyond? Is it because we're trying to raise money? No, because we should want everybody to know how great God is and join in this eternal chorus that He is great and He is good and remember what He's done and think about what He's going to do. Everybody ought to be wanting that. Missions and missionary zeal should beat in our hearts. Because of how great God is. We ought to expect, we ought to want, we ought to desire for the nations to praise the Lord. The psalmist expresses this desire, this Old Testament saint, that everybody participate in the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. What is this all about? Don't miss it. God's coming is the hope of the believer and the hope for the world. God's coming is a hope for the believer and the hope for the world. The Christmas, quote unquote, has not happened yet. You hear me? He's looking forward to this. We look back at it and we look forward to the time that He comes again. We're really excited about the last Christmas and the first Christmas, and we're really excited about the next Christmas when He comes, when He sets all things right, when He takes us to be with Him, when we get the new bodies, when all these things. He is the hope. God's coming is the hope that He came and that He coming and that He's coming again. Don't miss it. I'm going to put the scripture up here on the board on the screen here. Read it with me. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for you are slain and has redeemed us, bought us back to God by your blood out of," wait for it, "every kindred," that's people group, every speech, every tongue, every language, and every people group and every nation. We're going to do what? New song. The song of the redeemed. Psalm 98 said, "Man, it was wonderful what you did for us in Egypt. And wonderful what you've done to this point. And I can hardly wait for what you're going to do." Get with it this morning. "Man, you came and you died and you rose again. Help me. And you're coming again. And when you come, you won't die this time. You're going to come take all the dead that are in Christ, and they're going to be raised up with you. They're going to get new bodies, and the rest of us are going to be caught up with you. And you're going to come set it all right, and we're going to get to do something that's just so really cool. And in our own language and in our own nationality, we're going to get to do this, and we're going to be a cosmopolitan, international, multilingual choir. We're all going to sing the same thing. You are worthy. You are worthy. He is worthy." The joy to the world. World's in a mess. World's been in a mess. But I know something maybe they don't know. He came. And He's coming again. And I got at least six great reasons that my mouth should be continually full of His praise. And I'm just practicing. Because there's a great big choir coming. And all the redeemed that ever have lived will get to say, "You are worthy. Great is the Lord. Jesus is worthy." Joy to the world. Pray with me. Our heads are bowed. Thank you for listening well.